Good Sunday morning to you. I know things look a little bit different. I'm on the road with Vote Common Good, an amazing organization. I hope you go check it out, votecommongood.com. You can see all about what we're doing. But you don't have to just go there and read. Today we're actually going to, I think it's a special treat. First, a warning, if you think politics and religion shouldn't be mixed, this is probably not the show for you, because we're very definitely, what we're doing out here is telling people that their faith should inform how they vote. So I want to share with you some of my friends. Nick, amazing minister. You're going to hear a message from him. Genesis B, instead of a prayer, we're going to have some spoken word poetry from her. And then my roommate for this whole trip, Reverend Vince Anderson. If you're from New York, you know who Reverend Vince is. He's amazing. He's an amazing person and a super talented musician with a heart bigger than you can imagine. So I want to share those folks with you. And then after all of that has played, I'll come back with a few words. And I hope that you enjoy it. So do leave comments below so we can all see what our virtual congregation looks like and where they're from. Church members, thank you. Thank you for being loyal to the church and keeping up with your pledges. Thank you for allowing me to be out here on the road, even as I try to virtually take care of church business. I really appreciate it. And then if you out there, the folks who are tuning in, if you get a lot out of these Sunday messages and are in a position and feel so moved to contribute to the financial well-being of our little church, we certainly would appreciate it. You can go to A Thinking Church. That's athinkingchurch.org, and make a donation there. We would certainly appreciate it. That said, I want to go straight to Nick and let you hear words from him. Then you'll hear from Genesis B. And then, of course, as I said, Reverend Vince Anderson.
My name is Nick Brock, and I am from Grand Rapids, Michigan. An area that has historically been a stronghold for the Republican Party, and where they voted in this way for at least 120 years, from 1884 to 2004. It was this way, it was this pattern that was set, where the Republican Party was the seat of politics. And Grand Rapids is also known as a conservative Christian area. So by and large, this has meant that the biblical word of sin has been hyper-focused upon theology and personal piety, while dithering and doing not as much as it has done in regards to doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God, especially in regards to the LGBT community. And again, for generation upon generation, a particular kind of pattern has been passed along. And it is within this maintenance of this religious and political context where church buildings with high steeples anchor street corners, and where Trump signs saying "Keep America Great" pepper the landscape, and where multiple members of my family have pledged their vote for Donald Trump again. It's within this context that I have chosen to say no. I've chosen to say no to the Republican Party as it stands, and I've chosen to say no to the re-election of Donald Trump, and no to the white-knuckled grip of the status quo. In its place, I have chosen to say yes. Yes to Vote Common Good. Yes to faith, hope, and love, because it is within this space they have provided me the context, the vocabulary, the language, and the permission to open a door and cross the threshold into a deeper understanding and reimagined understanding of faith and politics, and a pivot of an understanding on this five-letter, two-syllable word, power. So let me briefly explain this. This past summer, in a New York Times article written by Elizabeth Diaz, Diaz recounted a story therein from 2016, where then-candidate Trump was on the campaign trail in Sioux City, Iowa, one of the most conservative Christian communities in the nation, and not unlike a community of my own, and perhaps one similar to yours. And while there, he addressed a crowd of curious and eager white evangelicals, saying this: Christianity is under a tremendous siege, whether we want to talk about it or we don't want to talk about it. And Christians make up the overwhelming majority of the country, and yet we do not exert the power that we should have. Christianity will have power. If I am in the White House, you're going to have plenty of it. You're going to have somebody representing you very, very well. And you don't need anybody else. Remember that. In effect, Donald Trump wanted to cut a deal for political power with Christian voters and have them sign their name on the dotted line. And they did, to the tune of 81%, 81% of white evangelical voters. And closely behind them was 60% of white Catholic voters. But the politics of Donald Trump, Trumpism, is a species of hysterical intolerance and oppression built on demagoguery, intimidation, and a cult of personality. And he sold us a bill of goods that was and continues to be a false and distorted, hijacked view of the Christian narrative for power that we find in the life and teachings of Jesus. And the prophetic and poignant words of Frederick Douglass, the former slave who called out the slave-holding religion that slave owners preach from the pulpit, he said this: between the Christianity of this land and the Christianity of Christ, I recognize the widest possible difference. Friends, it is high time that we remember very, very well who we Christians represent and who we want to represent us. Because as a body politic, we have missed the mark, and it has been 4 years too long. In stark contrast to Trumpism, the politics of Jesus undermine the power, the meaning of power at every turn, even when lynched upon a tree, crucified. Both tactics used for ethnic intimidation to enforce law and order while the oppressors stood back and stood by. This naked, sexually assaulted, brutalized, dehumanized, and non-white Jesus suffocated upon a cross and died under the heavy knee of a system that said his life does not matter. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? And yet it was this very Jesus, one in his fledgling group of friends, religious scoffers, and elite government officials to reimagine where and how power from above manifests in the streets below, in the public square, and in church parking lots just like this one. You see, the way Jesus died 2,000 years ago at the hands of the Roman Empire is as relevant and subversive for us today in 21st century America. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The politics of Jesus, where on earth as it is in heaven, is not just a short form prayer to climb the rungs of the spiritual ladder. It is also a public policy statement about how the space between heaven and earth becomes so razor thin that the naked eye could hardly differentiate between the two. And the framework of its constitution could be summarized as thus: let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in this human form, he emptied himself, became obedient and humble to the point of death, even death on a cross. And it is therefore that God highly exalted him. The way to transformational power is not through the ascent of your ego. It is not through the ascent of your stock's value or the value of your 401k retirement plan. It is not through the ascent of your religious institution or your church denomination, and it most emphatically is not through the ascent of your political party. The liberating way that transcends the powers and principalities of this world, that crosses the divide, that gives new life to me, to you, and to us, begins by recognizing critical moments such as this one that call us to go beyond our own selfish needs for dominance, violence, and exploitation, so that resurrection becomes not just something that happened long ago or something that will happen in the future, but is an ongoing reimagining that happens right here and now by the grace of God. In other words, your kingdom come, your will be done. In the final analysis, then, Donald Trump is right. Christianity will have power, and plenty of it. It's just that he and his enablers have yet to conclude that Christianity has already possessed it and has before since 2016. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and we have seen Jesus full of grace and truth. In closing, I have chosen to say no to the politics of Donald Trump because my yes recognizes the earthquaking power of the politics of Jesus, where humility, self-emptying, obedience, and grace and truth carries within it all the momentum needed to rise up and protest the interference of a large and cumbersome stone that stands in the way of an uprising. So, friends, may you choose not to go right in your politics. And may you choose not to go left, but may you choose to go deeper. Deeper into the mind of Christ, who by the power of his work within us is able to accomplish immeasurably more than all we can imagine. And may you seek faith, hope, and love for the common good, not only with your vote until November 3rd, but in everything that you do. My name is Nick Brock. Peace be with you, friends.
So again, my name is Genesis B. I'm the poet laureate of Vote Common Good, and I'm from Mississippi. I know you can't really tell. I lost my twang a little bit. Brooklyn did that to me. Yeah, Mississippi's a complicated place. You know, I grew up, I'm black, but biracial. My mother's white. My father's black. My father was a Baptist man growing up. My mother, a Catholic woman, and they both converted to Islam before I was born. So I was raised Muslim, but also taught about the gospel and the Torah. So, yeah, Mississippi's a beautiful place, but it's a complex place. William Faulkner once said, in order to understand the world, you have to understand a place like Mississippi, and it's very true. So I'm an artist, but I'm also an activist. And for the last 5 years, my activism has been surrounded around the issue of the Confederate battle flag being in our state flag, in the Mississippi state flag. For 120 years, that flag flew with a 40% black population, just letting us know that, you know, our lives just don't matter as much as the rest of the population. I remember my little niece, Millennia. She graduated high school, and I watched her as she walked across the stage under that flag. and I have other little nieces, and I said, little Maria, little Charlotte, little Carter, they're not going to walk under that flag. And that's when I got involved with trying to remove that emblem. And I'm really proud to say as of June 30th of 2020, Mississippi retired that flag. They did. From the mounting pressure from my collaborators, from my ancestors, from myself. So Mississippi is a microcosm of our nation. Police exoneration and mass incarceration. Black and brown bodies, a commodity. Mothers separated from babies, border policy. It's like the White House is painted in the Klan's ideology and our leadership is exploiting white poverty. Keeping us separate and divided, gay versus straight, white versus black, based off of fear and far from the facts. See, I hail from a state called the mighty Mississippi. It's the land of unsolved murder mysteries. I'm triggered by the trauma in my own family history. Because my dad was only 5 when a Klan drive-by bust bullets into his house with 6 children inside. On the back of the truck, a Confederate flag flying high. And these are the truths that they choose to deny. See, Mississippi, like America, eats your child and mine. The white supremacist lies, a prison of your own design. They forfeited their humanity in order to deny mine. Because white supremacy is a lie. Some have accepted it. A Confederate curse they inherited. Bigotry is blinding, and their fear of the other has blocked your own blessings from your sisters and brothers. Outrage, fatigue, I'm screaming, I can't breathe. From the top, it trickles down, from our judges to police. Because the illusion of freedom is far more dangerous than any jail cell or cramped cages. Yes, Mississippi is a microcosm of my nation. Where cowards replace white sheets with fake avatars, repeating their parents' folklore, tooth fairy, Santa Claus. The history's whitewashed. Google black codes and bylaws. In the comment section, sound off, sound off. Lord, they sound off, don't they? They call me a nigger, a bitch, or a dyke. Call me whatever you like. I've been through worse in this fight, and the hatred in their words just proves that I'm right. Because Mississippi is a microcosm of a country that always needed me but never wanted me. My melanin and skin is a sin, sentenced to build your economy. So pack the prisons, fill the quota, make us felons, never voters. Travel bans and deportation, killer cops, no resignation. Just federal indictments and mock trials, you see. My heart bleeds as the billboard reads, make America white again as my favorite rapper concedes. Kanye. Making me question everything that I believe. And still, I love America because I have hope. Some choose to jump ship and some steer the boat. See, I know that love and humanity lives in the smile of every child, in the heart of every kid. So be brave enough to break the curse. We need you at the polls, out in droves, fighting against this bigot you oppose. Study law. Run for office. Make a call. Write your Congress. Use your voice to choose a march. Ruth is gone. Grab the torch. You can read a book. Can write a rap. Just speak with truth and deal with facts, please. Alt-right affiliation of Trump's administration, Confederate infiltration, neo-Nazi showing faces. Just fueling the fear and the hatred while expanding their corporations. Do you see now how Mississippi is a microcosm of my nation? I'm Genesis B, y'all. Thank you.
So, friends, you're going to hear people tell you all the time, no. We get it all the time. No, can't make it. No, we can't host it. No, we can't show up. But every once in a while, you hear a yes. And we know the yeses are building around this country. And I'll tell you about some yes people. Look around here. There's a bunch of yes men and women sitting around here. These are people that are going to live into that yes. And what yes people do is they find their light. And they let that light shine. And when someone tells you, take down that sign, when someone tells you, keep your mouth closed, when someone tells you, don't combine your faith with your politics, you remind them every day that you're not going to hire
You're not going to hide that good news under a bushel. You're going to let that light shine. Aren't we, Vince? We're going to let that light shine, friends. We're really glad you're here with us.
So that's what we've been doing on the road. The events that we put on, the rallies that we do are a bit longer. But that's a little taste of the talent that's here and the power and the absolute energy that this group of folks has for being out in the public, speaking with people of faith, and talking about this probably the most important election of most of our lives. So I really sincerely hope you appreciated them as much as I do. And I encourage you, again, to go to votecommongood.org, where you can find a lot of the names that are here. And please support them as well. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all of you who show up faithfully every Sunday and interact with us online. It's absolutely wonderful. So thank you. Always leave where you're from below. And as always, if you can, stay home. If you can't, wear your mask, not below your nose, and not as a chin strap. And wash your hands. And as always, love one another.